Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
I've been double-crossed. I thought I could see through Benny Puller like a head shop window. But would you believe it? He's been laughing up his sleeve. That's what it looks like anyway. A couple of days ago, I broached the matter of holding Jeff Pilgrim to his agreement with us, and Benny Puller said, bet your life we'll hold him to it. And then when Jeff himself came and asked could he be released so he could return to Bendigo's, Benny hurled everything but telephone at him and threatened to sue if poor old Jeff so much as mentioned the subject again. I thought everything was going to be perfect. But according to the grapevine, Jeff's been let out of his contract for a box of cigars or something. Anyway, I know what I'm going to do. I'm having a word with Mr. Puller. Put it off too long already.
Come in, come in. Oh, can you stand the cigar smoke, Miss Bronson?
It's no worse than usual.
Well, sit down. Now, what is it? Oh, I suppose you want another fiver a week.
No, nothing like that. Actually, I'm wondering when Jeff Pilgrim's going to start here. With those people arriving from overseas and our commitments to General Steel and Foundry, there's going to be a lot doing in the next few weeks.
You know as much about what goes on here as any of my top chaps.
Isn't it my job?
Well, you want to watch out, or you'll be getting that fiver a week without asking. Now, about Pilgrim. He won't be starting here at all.
He won't?
That's what I said.
Are you going to sue him for breach or whatever it is?
No, I handed his contract over for a box of cigars. And I can tell you, they're not bad at all. Too bad you don't smoke cigars, Miss Bronson.
If I did, I certainly wouldn't accept any of those.
Well, now, wouldn't you? And why not?
Well, it's not like you to say one thing and mean another, Mr. Puller.
Your nose is out of joint, isn't it?
You distinctly told me that Jeff Pilgrim had been signed up for 3 years and he was going to stay signed up.
Now, just a minute. You're a pretty bright young woman, and that suits me fine. But you mustn't think you can make a monkey out of me.
I've never thought anything of the kind.
Oh, yes, you have. It was your idea to chase after Pilgrim, and you were as keen as mustard to keep him up to his contract, so you could.
He's a very valuable man.
To whom, Miss Bronson?
To you, of course.
Yeah? You weren't thinking about me, were you? Oh, no, it was Miss Stella Bronson.
But I wasn't.
Now, hang on. Don't start jumping up and down. I'm not having any triangles going on under my roof. When Pilgrim came in here the other day, I decided there was only one person with any real claims on the chap, and that was his wife.
But just because he was working for you, that wouldn't mean his wife would lose him.
Now, come, come, Miss Bronson. Surely you can do better than that.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Puller.
Then let me draw you a diagram. If you hadn't been here, I would have held Pilgrim to his signature. Does that make it clear enough?
Oh, all right, go on, laugh at me. It's bad enough, so you might as well make it a bit worse.
Balderdash, you've lost out. Let's see you take it with a grin. There are plenty of other chaps about. Now run along to your own office and bear something in mind as you go. In future, don't try to use my firm as a hunting preserve. You get me?
Yes, Mr. Puller.
Just a minute. There's one more thing.
Yes?
Do you like cigars? I don't mean smoking them yourself. But do you like other people smoking them?
No, I positively loathe cigars.
You do, eh? Okay, that's all. That's too bad. I haven't smoked a pipe for years. I wonder how it'll taste.
Yes, Mr. Fleming, you wanted me.
You'd better take a seat, Harry. You've heard the news about Pilgrim, I presume?
About his escape up there in the islands? Well, naturally, sir. Says the man in the moon, I imagine.
You can spare me the flippancy, Harry.
Oh, beg your pardon, sir.
Jeff Pilgrim is coming back here next Monday morning, and I don't have to tell you what that means.
But that's a lot of rot, Mr. Fleming. Pilgrim's under contract to the Fuller
Corporation. Oh, I have a severe headache this afternoon, Palmer, and I wish you wouldn't argue. The contract's been waived. Pilgrim resumes here on Monday, and he'll go back to your own office and your previous accounts.
Well, of all the rotten deals
It's not a scrap of good getting hot under the collar. I'm sorry, very sorry.
What happens about my salary?
Oh, I made it quite clear to you, my dear fellow, some weeks ago that the increase was contingent on your handling the Puller account.
Oh, but really, sir, this simply isn't good enough. Are you asking me to go back to 800 a year?
We're leaving you at 1,000.
Well, all I can say is, sir, it's a darn poor show. I've been handling that account without so much as a flicker. It's been running like a Swiss watch. And the moment Jeff Pilgrim takes it into his head to come back, bingo, I'm out.
I pointed out to Mr. Bendigo that there was a certain element of injustice.
You can say that again. Oh, it makes me boil to think I've been beating my brains out, and for what? Keeping Jeff Pilgrim's feet warm for him like any silly fool of a broody hen.
Father!
Well, it's enough to give a...
Father! Oh, you're forgetting yourself. Kindly remember where you are.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fleming. I know it's not your doing.
Who's doing it is, Palmer, is quite beside the point. And if I might make a suggestion, you'd better go and cool off. Have you any outside work this afternoon?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Well, go and do it then. And if it takes you all the afternoon and you can't get back before 5, Harry, well, that'll be quite all right.
Thanks. Mr. Fleming, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is there any way of getting on in this firm without marrying into it?
Over here, hop in.
Sorry, couldn't get across.
It's all right. I just thought you mightn't make it before the lights changed, and I'd have had to drive around the block again.
What did you want to see me about? I get a noggin, I hope.
Oh, yes. But we'll get away from the mob a bit. What do you say to Lakeside Inn?
Suits me.
Now, what was the big idea telling me Puller was holding Jeff to his agreement?
Big idea? You ass, I was strung along as well as everyone else.
Now, this is a fine time to find out. I'm back where I started, and all you've done is slip clean out of the running.
Never mind that. What's really behind phoning 3 times and saying, wouldn't I please meet you tonight?
Well, we're both in the same boat, aren't we? I'm through as far as getting on with Marcia or Bendigo is concerned, and you're about washed up with Jeff. Why don't we cry into our milk together?
If I cry into anything, it's going to be a gin sling, thanks.
You'll have me on the bread line. Listen, Stella, do a little something for me.
What?
Well, I can't type for sour apples, and I'm writing to 3 or 4 firms to offer my services. I've completely had Tressida Bendigo and Company. May they go broke tomorrow. What's your typewriter at the flat? Portable or a standard?
What's the matter? You want me to type some letters for you?
I can scarcely ask any of our own girls to do it. They're all over the place in 5 minutes. You, you mind, would you?
Of course not. If you must know, Palmer, cad and all as you are, just tonight I'm glad to be with you.
The blues?
Deep purple ones.
We'll do something about them at the Lakeside Inn. And thanks about the letters.
When do you want them?
Well, actually, I was hoping to send them off in the morning. Could we drop in at your place tonight? They won't take long.
All right. Oh, I just remembered my portable's not at home. I've had it at the office.
Oh, hang. We couldn't possibly fix them there, could we? Would old Benny take a poor view?
Oh, I don't see why. And I have got a key.
Well, if If you're sure it's all right.
Oh, I'll tell Benny in the morning. He won't mind a scrap.
Oh, good for you. Well, in that case, we'd better feed at the inn and then drive back into town. Okay?
Suits me fine. Yours faithfully, H.J. Palmer. Underlined in red. There you are, son. All set for signature.
Oh, thanks a lot, Stella. I hope they bring home the bacon.
They should. On those, I'd practically give you a job myself. Listen, Harry. There's nothing cunning going on, is there?
Now, what in the devil makes you ask that?
It's not like you to turn tail. Frankly, you're not running true to form.
Oh, rot. How could there be anything cunning in looking about for another job? You'll be looking under your bed for burglars next. Come along, let's go. Rather a lot of trouble. Just to get a dozen sheets of Betty Puller's letterhead. But it was worth it. Lucky I knew Stella's portable was at our office. Well, this was the first move. Now we're really off. And by the time I've made the last move, Geoffrey, old son, you won't only be kicked out. You'll be in quad. For embezzling. You really shouldn't have come back to grab my job.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.